picture muted. Okay. Good afternoon. This is a public hearing before the Washington State Department of Licensing being held to elicit public testimony, both oral and written, with regard to proposed rules regarding providing greater clarity on the requirements and procedures for issuing temporary license plates. This hearing is being held via Zoom at 1 p.m. on June 27, 2023. Public notice of this hearing was given by notice number WSR-23-11-146, filed with the Code Revisor's Office on May 24, 2023. Copies of the proposed rules are available at www.dol.wa.gov/about/rules. The sign-in sheet, your testimony, and any documents you provide are public documents. This rule is proposed pursuant to the provisions of RCW 46.01.110 Rulemaking Authority. My name is Kelsey Stone, and my title is Policy and Legislative Analyst. The Director of Licensing has designated me to provide over this hearing. Representatives of the Washington State Department of Licensing are present today if there are questions. Stacey Allen, Customer Relations Assistant Administrator. Shantae Verney, DVR Assistant Administrator. Wes Marks, Policy and Outreach Program Manager. Jill Johnson, Legislative and Special Projects Manager, and Carl Backen, Legislative Policy Analyst. The procedure today will be as follows. The department is required to make a record of this hearing by stenographic, mechanical, or electronic means. Therefore, we are audio recording this hearing. Anyone wishing to testify today should provide their name and contact information in the chat, or let me know they would like to testify when I ask if there is anyone wishing to testify. I'll ask you to provide your contact information, which will be added to a sheet. The sheet will be used to call forward individuals for testimony and is later used to ensure hearing participants are notified of full reading results and the agency's response to comments. You will be called to testify in the order in which I collect your information. To assist in preparing the record of this public hearing, individuals testifying should state their name, who they represent.
Then I saw your email on timing. Unfortunately, I didn't see it until today. It says that I'm not on
Department has not received written comments on these proposed rules. For those wishing to provide written comments here, please email them to rulescoordinator@dol.wa.gov, and we will include them in the formal record. Copies of these written comments will be added to the rulemaking file. Now I'm going to pass it over to Carl to give us a quick summary of the changes.
A quick summary of the waiver too.
Perfect, thank you.
And so the rulemaking effort here today focuses on three different sections of WAC, WAC 308-56A-140, WAC 308-56A-420, and WAC 308-56A-425. Generally, the rule amendments we propose here update references for temporary plates. I'm sorry, for temporary permits to now refer to temporary license plates, consistent with House Bill 1790. Also consistent with House Bill 1790, we update the display requirements for these temporary license plates. We also establish procedures for obtaining temporary license plates through the e-permitting system, establish a transition timeline between temporary permits and temporary license plate usage, and provide various technical corrections and other amendments to fit the new context for temporary license plates.
All good?
All good.
Okay. All right, so we're gonna go through real quick and just ask for everyone's name and some information to contact you after the public hearing to make sure we've captured all the comments correctly, and to hear what organization you're representing and whether you are in support or against the rulemaking or other if you prefer. Ryan Owens, we'll start with you.
Hey, my name's Ryan, and I'm from Trailer Station USA. And honestly, I'm just here to learn more about the rulemaking, as we're pretty unsure what this is going to all look like.
We're happy to have you. And Brian Levitt?
Yeah, hi. Can you hear me?
We can.
Okay, yeah. I'm Levitt Auto Sales. I own Levitt Auto Sales in Everett, Washington. And I'm here because I'm curious as to first of all, why we're having a public hearing about a rule that goes into effect in 2 days, and why we can't simply print it out and laminate it as opposed to buying a new printer and new, you know, paper stock and so on and so forth.
Okay. T. Davis?
Hello. I'm here today just observing. I actually work for DOL, so I'm here to listen to the questions.
Thank you for being with us today. Ryan, welcome. Am I?
Hi, yes, I'm Brian Amai. I'm with General Counsel for the Washington State Auto Dealers Association. We did submit comments over the website, and then I just sent it in my email, so I wanted to confirm that was received either way.
Awesome. We will take a look at that and definitely follow up with you if we didn't get it, so we can make sure that we include it. And Stacy Allen, I see you're here with us also from DOL. Kyle McAdam.
Hi, are you able to hear me?
We are.
Thank you. My name is Kyle McAdam. I'm representing Cox Automotive today, just listening in to the rulemaking.
Okay, thank you. And we do have somebody on the phone. Last four digits is 1825.
Yeah, this is Corey Halls, represent Insurance Auto Auctions. I'm an area manager for the Pacific Northwest states. I'm here like the rest of the gang, just for informative purposes, and you know, we'll take any action needed. Thank you.
Okay, thank you guys. And we did get Brian's. Okay, and Brian, we did get your written comments, so we'll make sure to include those.
Thank you.
Okay, and then I think that there are a couple of folks that are here wishing to testify today. Could you please unmute yourself and say if you're willing to testify? If no one is wishing to testify, we're happy to kind of open the floor to answer any questions or receive any comments you all may have. Sure. Yeah, we'll go ahead. Brian, we'll start with you since we have those written comments. Brian Levitt. Excuse me, since you had some verbal questions.
Yeah. Oh, all right. Yeah. No, I'm just a little concerned. I get that they'd like to be able to collect tolls, and that's fine. I drive a car with a dealer plate on it, and it with one plate on the back, I pay the toll every time I get it. It's just the logistics of this seems obscure. The idea that they can't read the temp when it's in the back window or whatever that we've been using. And also, you know, honestly, we got 15 days to get rid of any hard copies that, that we paid for. As dealers, I mean, we're practically the only people who use these as automobile dealers. And it just seems like overkill. Honestly, I think this is the reason people, you know, stuff like this, the reason people vote for people like Trump. It's like, it's overkill. To me, what difference does it make if we wrap it in Saran wrap and stick it in the license plate frame? Why do we have to buy paper that lasts for 120 days when the permit lasts for 45 days? You know, we're supposed to have it transferred right away. Or as soon as possible, you know. So anyway, I mean, that's why I'm here. I just to express my dismay with it. Honestly, it just doesn't make it any easier to run a small business.
I'm gonna pass it over to the program folks.
So I can see this is Wesley Marks of Department of Licensing. So I can speak specifically to the laminated question that you raised. That is something that was addressed in the statute itself. And so there was opportunity to comment on the statute. And as far as the rulemaking is concerned, you know, we're looking at the rules surrounding that statute. I will say the statute says that the temporary license plates need to be composed of a material that must be durable and remain unaltered in field conditions for a minimum of 4 months. And so these rules are intended to help solidify the process and procedure behind that requirement that's already going to be in place in statute. As for the 15 days with the Hart-Scott permits, what I can say on that is, you know, effective July 1st, this change goes into effect on the statute. And so this transition period, as was described earlier, in what the intent of the rulemaking is to allow that transition period to take place. And so what we've started to work on and what we intend to do is allow that transition period to happen while still honoring the intent of the statute, which is to transition entirely to temporary license plates instead of those hard stock permits.
Right. I understand that it has become the law, which is, and there was no notification, or at least, and I get these notifications, obviously I wouldn't be here if I didn't. I never received a notification that this law had a public hearing about it. And I subscribe to the Independent Auto Dealer Association email list and the other guys' idea, whatever they are, their email list. That never came up. And I figured it's probably water under the bridge at this point. But as I said, this is, you know, I asked my legislative assistants or my legislature's assistant about it. I said, you know, who do you think pays for this? And his answer was, you, the car dealer. And I said, no, it's the consumer that pays for it. I pass the costs along. So, I mean, to me, it's just, I first of all, I don't get the point of having a 100 and whatever day, you know, durable thing. And, you know, as I said, I mean, I don't understand that somebody somewhere is making money off the paper and the printer. But, you know, if there's nothing can be done at this point, there's nothing can be done at this point. The hardbacks that I keep, because every once in a while the internet goes down, I keep a few hardbacks around, and I guess we'll just use them. And then we go through some kind of process to print temps again at some point. I don't know what that is. But as I said, I mean, it just seems like overkill. Anyway, but if there's nothing can be done, there's nothing can be done at this point. If all it is just a matter of putting in the rules and saying, okay, that's what it is, then I would imagine that the lobbyists who, you know, the Independent Auto Dealer Association, those people all dropped the ball, I guess, because like I said, I was unaware of it. And so I'm surprised I'm the only dealer in the room, to be honest with you.
Well, and what I will say, Brian, is I think from the department's perspective, we definitely appreciate your engagement today with the rulemaking. The rules, you know, as we said, are available online for review. We are accepting comments. This is also a time for public comment. And this is where, you know, to that point, you can help engage the department and help our focus on what those rules should be. You know, there is that public engagement process with the legislature as well. I won't speak to that. That's beyond our level in this meeting. But I do appreciate you and everyone else being here today on the rulemaking side of this.
Yeah, and that's fine. I mean, you know, like I said, I mean, I just thought at this point, I thought it was strange that they put this up, you know, like a week before the thing takes place. And like I said, 2 days before, we're having a public hearing that I don't know that it's going to. But the law exists the way it is. So explain that to me. I assume that it's just going to go forward as the legislative guys, whoever voted for it, said yes to, right?
Yes. So the legislation will continue to go forward. It will go into effect in the next couple of days. The rules are on a different timeline. So the rules don't go into effect right away. We do have a grace period of time after this hearing. So you guys can send those comments. We will review those.
How long does that? You say the rules don't go into effect? I thought they went into effect on the 1st of July.
So the law itself, where the change of the process does go into effect in a couple of days, but the rules are separate. So rulemaking is the intention of clarifying what the law is. And so while the kind of the main points that you've been making, the 120 days, you know, the change of paper, that kind of thing, those do go into effect in a couple of days. But the rules that we're speaking to today, actually don't go into effect right away. There's still a grace period of time that we're going to take all of your guys' comments and all of the written comments that we received into consideration if we do need to adjust some of those that makes sense.
Well, yeah, except for the part where the rules go into effect on the first, yet you're going to, I'm sorry, I don't understand that.
Brian, the only thing that is going to work a little bit differently is, like Joe was saying, the legislation that requires this change will go into effect in a few days, but right. Our rulemaking is specific to the agency. So the changes that we've proposed here, that language can still be amended. We haven't filed a what we call a permanent rulemaking order yet. That always happens after a public hearing to make sure that we have time to get any written or oral comments from the public hearing. And so we're still probably looking at a little over a month of these rules until these rules are effective. So we can change our specific rule language that we're talking about here today, but we can't change kind of the intent of the legislation.
I guess my question is this, and I apologize for taking so much time with this.
That's okay.
But I guess my question is this. If I sell a car on July 2nd, when I print the temp, it's not going to be a temp. It's going to be this two-part license plate form that is supposed to be printed on a perforated piece of paper that show that I'm supposed to attach to the vehicle as if it were a license plate. Is that correct?
Yes, the process does go into place, on that day.
Okay. So basically nothing changes. Okay, I get it. But yeah, I mean, it's just some paper vendor somewhere got themselves something lovely out of this or some printer, I don't know. Anyway, unless you guys as the rules committee can change anything, which I don't know how you would do that. I don't think anything, do you think anything changes?
It's really just the language that we're proposing. Unfortunately, because it's mandated by state law, by the legislature, as Wes previously said, this is just us kind of codifying that in our own wax.
That's fine. I understand. All right. That's kind of what I thought. I just was surprised when I saw the notice of this public meeting. And that's why I'm like, wow, that's weird. Okay.
Well, we encourage you to read the rule, the actual language that we're proposing. It is linked on the website as well. So
I saw that. I did read it all. I read it all and I get it. And I understand. Well, I understand what the changes do. I don't understand the logic of it with the exception of, toll roads. I don't get any of the rest of it. It doesn't make sense. The length of time the paper has to be durable for, all of that. You know, I mean, when we sell a convertible, we take a picture, we do two temps and we wrap one in plastic and stick it in the license plate frame and the other one goes in the back window. You know, that's the way it's been done by just about every car lot I know for years and years. And, and it does register when you drive through the toll lanes. I know I drive a car with one plate on it. Yeah. So anyway, I appreciate your time very much. And I think that in order to change anything, that change will probably have to come through the legislature, not through you guys, because this is all going to start on the first, regardless, right?
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Thank you. Appreciate your time.
Thank you for your comments, Brian. We appreciate it.
Okay.
Are there other folks that would like to ask questions, other comments that they'd like to leave us with?
Yeah. Hey, this is Owen Dunstan. I'm kind of in and out of coverage. I'm not sure. I don't think I got a chance to introduce myself. I'm also with Trailer Station with Ryan Owens. And I'm not sure really completely the scope of this meeting. So maybe I'm asking a question that's not appropriate, but we're perhaps not as up to speed as Brian is or was. And so I guess it would be great if you guys can maybe give a 30-second overview of how you see the program and how you see it rolling out. Is that something that you guys can draw, dates? Can you just give a quick, thank you.
So you were cutting out just a little bit, but I think what I caught is that you're looking for a little bit of an overview about the timeline and the potential rollout of the legislation's effective date. Is that right?
That's correct. As much as you can cover in this conversation, that would be great.
Okay. Yeah, I think we can address that. So I'll
to West for some of the dates as well. But so the law goes into effect on July 1st. We are rolling out a couple days in advance so folks can get acclimated with the new process. So it is going to affect on Thursday, the 29th. We have some training available that actually should be posted end of today, I think, but probably imminently, that you guys can take a look at as well. And so the full process does change on the 1st. You have a couple days to kind of get into the system, ask questions if needed. And then if you are holding on to any of the hard stock paper permits that are printed out in advance, those ones are good until July 14th to be issued to a vehicle. And then you would have to, you have that 24 hours to put it back into the system. So you have until technically the 15th to enter it all back into the system. And then kind of the big date is September 1st is when all temporary permits will now be temporary license plates. It's a lot of dates, I know, but kind of the big ones to remember is July 1st is the effective date. And then you have until the 14th to use up any of those hard paper temps that you might have.
Okay, so I'm sorry if you didn't still hear me, just quick clarifying. So the hard cards have to be used by the 14th so that from the 14th of July to the end of August, I guess maybe we had the original impression that we could still use hard cards through that window as well. But what you're saying is we cannot, so that expires on the 14th of July. And then I guess, what does that window from the 14th through the 14th of July till the end of August represent?
Yeah, so it's actually, so because dealers have the 45 days to get everything transferred, that's where we calculated that date from. So the 14th through September 1st, that's that 45-day window that everything needs to be transferred by any dealers that have issued any of those hard copies. That's where we came up with that date. It wasn't, I promise it wasn't arbitrary.
Oh yeah, no. I think we're just trying to figure out again some of the hard dates, and you know, again, how long can we use hard cards? You know, and when does that expire? So understand the 45-day window for kind of a temporary permit. And then, can you talk about, you know, when we originally talked to our local DOL, or something? You guys talk a little bit about that. Is that something you have insight into?
Can you repeat the question? I only caught part of that.
Can you talk about sourcing of the new paper? We had some conflicting information from our local DOL.
Yeah, so DOL has sourced a paper company called Relico for our internal use, as well as the vehicle licensing offices will be using the paper from Relico. You guys are certainly welcome to, you know, call them up. They actually, I think, are going to be providing to a lot of dealers. I think maybe some of the associations are going to be using Relico. There are other companies that do offer this. We just have chosen this one company. There certainly are others available in the state. And your associations, I might actually have already, I definitely reach out to your association because some of them have purchased paper to be able to sell back to their dealers. So I would definitely engage with your association and see if that's a possibility or if they have any guidance.
Yeah, one point that I'd like to just make crystal clear so that there's not any confusion is that the July 14th date is the last date to issue and assign a temporary, one of the hard stock temporary permits in the back vehicle of the back window of a vehicle. And really the intent of that is because those will be still valid as long as they had previously been issued all the way until September 1st. So if you have a customer or someone who's purchased a vehicle who has that in the rear window of their vehicle, that will be valid and remain valid until that September 1st date, which should allow enough time for them to expire on their own with the 45-day time frame that dealer permits are allowed to be valid for. And that's really intended to have the least amount of impact on your businesses and on the customers as possible, keeping in mind that July 1st, temporary permits by statute no longer exist. So it's a grace period to use some of them to provide that convenience to the public and to the dealers and to allow that to continue forward that way.
Excuse me, this is Brian Levitt again. I have a question. If we don't use our, I mean, can these paper permits be returned? Can we get a refund?
Unfortunately, no. The legislation did not allow for DOL to offer refunds for those hard copy.
Why not? Why not?
I'm not sure. That was up to the legislature.
That's really. I mean, that's in the text of the law that we can't return them.
No, it's just that they did not appropriate funding to us to be able to do that.
Oh, so great. All right. So if I don't use the 10 or 15 of them I have laying around here by the middle of the month, I'm just simply out of pocket. That's nice. Thank you.
Unfortunately, I'm sorry. Yeah.
No, it's not. Well, it might be your fault, but it is just generally the reason that people like Trump get elected. That's just frustrating.
Thank you for the clarity on the 45-day window. Understood. I guess can you and understood, you know, agree we have a lot of hard card stock that, you know, it sounds like we're going to be out of pocket on as well. So just to clarify, we do not need to use the provider, the paper provider that you guys recommend. We can use a different one. And then you talk real quickly about we haven't gone down the path of printing. I know this is, again, not really the scope of this call, but would love to see if other people have figured out how to print appropriately on the new paper.
Sure. And I'll speak directly to the paper question you just raised, Ed. There is no requirement in statute or in the rulemaking that DOL require a specific vendor or a specific type of paper, other than it must meet the statutory requirements, which is that it needs to be a material that's durable and remain unaltered for a minimum of 4 months. Beyond that, any source that you use, any printing method that you use, is the choice of any licensed dealer producing those documents. We share who DOL contracted with just out of convenience and information sharing, but there is no obligation to use that vendor. We know that there are different vendors that may provide options for inkjet printing versus laserjet printing, potentially other methods of printing. Those are at the discretion of the individual licensee to use a vendor and material of their choice that meets those requirements.
And then for the programming side, because the programming changes haven't gone into effect, so if you go into e-permitting today, you wouldn't be able to see those changes yet. They'll appear in a couple days. But we do have templates that you can kind of start playing around with if you wanted to. I don't know where we posted them, but we do have templates for just a passenger vehicle as well as motorcycle, because of course they're different sizes. And you guys are welcome to start, you know, trying to print them even on just regular white stock paper, just to see how it looks. And then we have programmed our specific paper to have, you know, spaces for the bolt holes, things like that. The perforations are in a specific spot. So with whatever, you know, paper company you work with, they can certainly probably work with you to configure that as well. And then if you just happen to use Relico, they already know kind of our side of it. So they would certainly know how to help you on that side as well. But you guys are welcome to start trying to print them. It's, you know, if you won't be able to print it directly from e-permitting right now, because it doesn't show like that. But we do have some PDFs that you would just be able to print out and you could see how it appears. They largely look the same as what they do today. We didn't change the configuration of the permit number. That was important to law enforcement and the toll readers, that we remain with that same kind of number configuration. So it largely looks the same. Obviously, we had to have it a certain size that they could read it. It'll have dealer information on there, vehicle information, so make, model, VIN. All that. So it doesn't look, you know, largely different from what you see today, but it is slightly different. And of course, it'll appear differently on the vehicle because it'll be, you know, in the space where a license plate would go.
Great, thank you. And I'm sorry, again, outside of the scope of this call, but, you know, we're a trailer dealer. So we, you know, I assume it's the same. Same process, you know, maybe something is printed slightly different, but I think it's largely the same as the auto side. Is that a safe assumption, or is there something that you guys are aware of that makes trailer dealers different?
Yeah, so So trailer dealers have the same requirements. There is an option when the license plate is selected as to whether it's two standard size license plates, one standard size license plate, or one small size license plate. So depending on the vehicle that the plate is being placed on would determine what plates are generated by the dealer. Yeah.
And so, if you do have a motorcycle trailer, that you would just be able to use the motorcycle sockets, yeah. Does that help, Ed?
Is there anybody else that would like to leave comments, has questions?
This is Brian. Am I with the Washington?
Okay, no, understood. Great. And then for placement, I assume your window, the tow vehicle in the past, do you know if license plate,
I think you had some delay in the audio coming in and then you muted and then it cut you off on the slide there. I'll say real quick, Brian, before you get started here, any technical questions on the new process that are related to starting up, getting started up, or questions as we get this initiated? I'll just put a quick plug in for the email box for the temporary license plate information. It is TEMPLICPLATE. And then the word information, we'll throw that in the chat, and that's been available in all of our communications at dol.wadac.gov. And that is a good mechanism for questions as this is rolled out, both on June 29th, as well as past July 1st to the 14th and 15th, as well as questions on how the rulemaking is subsequently implemented. So this is the place, and the rulemaking email box is a place for providing comments on the rulemaking that can be reviewed and considered in this process. But we want to continue to work with you. That email address that's going to be out there in a minute will be available through at least the end of the year, if not longer, to provide that direct resource for dealers or others who use these temporary license plates to get information and get assistance. So I'll just throw that out there. I'm sure you got more questions, and we'll be happy to answer them outside the scope of the rulemaking conversation today. Sorry, Brian, I didn't mean to cut you off there.
That's okay. So we did submit written comments, so we look forward to kind of a fuller response to that. But I figured while I have you here, maybe we'd start that conversation. Sure. Our members did list a couple of concerns, and you are correct. I know multiple state associations are offering the paper with the template punched into it. I don't know if anybody's offering the trailer template at this time. From our members' perspective, a couple of the concerns that they had with this, with the rule as it's currently written, The initial one is the limitation to 10 offline temporary license plates. And I think the concern there is that it does not account for different sales volumes between dealerships. I understand that there is an opportunity for an offsite to apply for an increase or something along those lines. But unfortunately, the concern that they really have is for either internet down, power down, or the e-permitting system down. And our members, several, you know, the larger ones in particular, can easily sell far more than 10 vehicles on a given weekend if the system goes down. So one recommendation was to have that 10 amount scale as kind of modeled after the dealer plate requirement. So a licensed vehicle dealer can have 3 plates and then 6% of sales. In terms of total number of plates. And so that would account for different dealer, you know, there are dealers that'll sell 1 or 2 cars in a weekend, and there are some that'll sell 20 to 30. So it really kind of depends. So that's a significant concern raised by some of the other people here that there's no, I understand that the legislation did not provide funding for refunds on the hard temps. There are a number of dealers that did when the fee increased from 15 to 40, did go out and stock up on those hard temps with the understanding that they wouldn't expire. If there's no funding to refund it, one dealer did suggest, and I think we would agree that DOL consider allowing them to transfer those hard temps into e-permitted numbers. So it would essentially just be, you know, added to their current account. And then the last piece is not really with having to do with the rule. It's the PDF generation at the end. And a lot of our members have requested that. Currently, it's 2 temporary license plates and the templates are generated all together in one document. That's just logistically difficult when they go to print it. And so they would like the option to have 2 different PDFs produced so they can send one to one printer and one to another printer.
Thank you, Brian. Yeah, these are very thorough and thoughtful questions. Thank you. Wes, I'm gonna have you help with the limitation one.
Yeah, so I'll speak to the 10 limitation of the unassigned temporary license plates, Brian, that you raised initially. So I will say that at this point today, the program is waiting for additional information on the usage of these. And unfortunately, because of the way the hardstock temporary permits were used and were sold, there is no available data to DOL on the usage of those hardstock temporary permits. We are aware that quite a large number of them were purchased and not registered with the system as required. We have received reports that have been looked into on that as well. Our hope is that after this launch of the initial system, that we can provide some data and with comments from dealers, from others involved, come up with a scheme. You know, one of your suggestions is using the dealer license plate scheme that will be sufficient to satisfy both the system needs as well as the dealer needs, the agency and the dealer needs, something that's satisfactory on that side. We do anticipate that in the future, in the relatively near future, but at this point, there's just not a mechanism for that outside of what's already been established for the launch on June 29. But that is a comment that, you know, we will take back and provide some responses to in a written format for the future.
Thank you. And also on that piece, I guess maybe a follow-up question that occurs to me is, would it be possible to reword the current rule so that you don't have to go through another rulemaking if you revisit this issue?
So this, and let me double check myself, this is the expedited thing we're going to do.
This is standard.
Yeah. Okay. I think there's a couple of things that could be considered on this, Brian. So looking at the rulemaking today that we're here to discuss, this comment is a part of that. So we will look at the rules today that are being proposed and see how this may be impacted on this. Now, there is some additional things that we can look at as well that may already be covered by existing rule, existing statute that we can look into on some flexibility sides. I will say that this was contemplated initially, that there would be some adjustments to that number. So we do have that capability in the system if we can support it with policy, rule, or statute on the back end, and that's what we'll be taking a look at.
I appreciate that. I know, I think, again, having the hard limit in the rule is going to be problematic for dealerships. It will be frustrating for customers, and it may include, you know, increasing pressure on dealerships to figure out a way to put the customer out because they want to drive home with the vehicle they just purchased.
Totally get it.
Yeah. And then Brian, for your other two questions, so the refund question, of course, that's been a big question in all the trainings and conversations we've had with dealers. And so this is certainly above this group and our product team. We would have to bring it to our leadership team to see and discuss if that's a possibility. I'm not sure what that would look like about, you know, converting it over to credit. I don't know if that's programmatically challenging also. So we'll have to revisit that with our team and just see if that's a possibility. I don't have a good answer right now though for it, unfortunately. And then the PDF generation, we did hear about that in some of the trainings, and that's something that we have posed to our ISD partners that are programming the system. And so we're going to look into that as well, because that was something that did come up with other folks. So of course, you know, most of these are programmatic things, so we'll definitely have to take a look and see what that functionality looks like in the system, if we can do some of these things. But we certainly will address these, and with written comments, we always address them written back to you as well. So you'll have that.
Yeah, and I just want, real quick, Brian, I wanted to clarify on the 10 limit, because it is explicitly part of this rulemaking, based on looking at this, that is gonna be a comment that's addressed as a result of this hearing.
Yep.
So you will get an answer to that.
Other questions, comments from folks?
Just wanted to clarify, thank you very much for that. We look forward to that. In the written comments that we did submit, I don't think we raised the possibility of DOL just rewording the proposed language so that they have flexibility on the time limit and don't have to go through the entire rulemaking process again.
Perfect, thank you. Yeah, we've noted that down here today, so that'll be included in kind of our summary of the stakeholder feedback for the public hearing.
Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. Anybody else wishing to speak that hasn't already or has additional questions based on the conversation? Okay. Thank you for your comments. The department will prepare a concise explanatory statement, which will, among other things, summarize all the oral and written comments received regarding the proposed rules and respond to them by category or subject matter. Copies of the concise explanatory statement will be forwarded to all those who have made oral or written comments. We would just ask that if you do want to receive a copy of those, please leave your email in the chat. You can list it generally or send it through direct message, but that'll just give us a record of contact information so we'll know exactly where to send it to. All of this will also be available on DOL's website, but that takes a little bit longer to get posted. All right. And if nobody has any other comments or questions, I'm going to stop recording and the hearing is adjourned. Thank you, everyone.
Thanks for your time. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much for your participation.